Let's take your Bibles and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. While you're turning there, as we looked at the previous four chapters, we saw the power of the gospel in chapter 1. And then we saw the preaching of the gospel in chapter 2, the persecution of the gospel in chapter 3, and the promise of the gospel in chapter 4. Tonight we start dealing with the permanence of the gospel and how God not only saves us, He keeps us, and thank God for that. I can keep some things for a little while, but I can't keep nothing forever. I'm glad God's in control of all this. It's like I ask people, they say, well, I think I can lose my salvation. I got a question for you, and you just consider this. What do the words eternal life mean? Second question, when Jesus died, how old were you? You say, well, I wasn't even born. When He died for you, how old were you? You say, I wasn't even born yet, so all your sins were yet future when He died for you. Tell me again how He's going to lose out on you there. Yeah. He's got it all under control. Not any works we do to get it or keep it. He keeps the whole thing through the power of the Holy Spirit of God. It's paid for in the blood of Jesus. As we look in chapter 5, beginning at verse 1, He says, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all children of the light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. And we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever following that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. As we look in the Word of God tonight, I want to preach on this thought tonight. Let's make some honey. You know what you got to have to make honey? Only one creature in this world does it. Is that right? Just one. I believe that thing's called a bee. So I want to give you some bees tonight so we can get some honey made. Amen. I know that a lot of times if you preach the Bible, people accuse you of preaching judgment. But I say tonight, I think I burnt you up quite good this morning. Do you think so? Half of you look tanned. I hope it's from this morning's message and not from laying out at the beach. Amen. But I do want to encourage you tonight to let's make some honey. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we love you tonight, and God, we thank you, Lord, for letting us be in the house of God. We pray, God, that you'll give us a good word tonight, God, from 1 Thessalonians. It'll help us, Lord God, to be sweeter for you, and God, to be more of a help to you and to your people. I pray, Heavenly Father, tonight as a church, God, that you'd help us do these things. Tonight we come to the Word of God expecting, but without you we cannot understand anything. And we pray Psalm 119, verse 18 together. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I pray tonight, God, you'd help me to preach according to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, to preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Lord, we love you, and God, we thank you for everything you're going to do. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray, and for his sake, amen. As we look tonight at making honey, again, you got to have bees to make honey. And the first bee we find in verses 1 through 10, and that's this bee. Be watchful. Be watchful. He says there about the verse 1, he says, but of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. Why is that? Well, anybody can figure this out because we've had more earthquakes, more of these things called a tsunami from an oceanic earthquake. I mean, this year alone, we've had more hurricanes hit America than we ever have. There's devastation all over the world. And get this. We got a guy in office that the Democrats hate and the Republicans hate, and we can't get nothing there done either. Isn't that something? Times and seasons. How many of you have walked out this morning and said, man, it feels good out here today, but now all of a sudden it feels like summer again? You're figuring something out, and here's what it is. It's not global warming. It's that the Lord's fixing to come soon, and all these things show part of that. They're worried, back in the 70s, they were worried about that California was going to be shaken off into the ocean with earthquake. Now there are earthquakes in Colorado and South Carolina and Virginia. We're going in the ocean too? Or is Jesus coming back? They said that they taught us a new word in America, tsunami. We didn't know what that was until a few years ago. Why? Because it never happened on the scale it's happened in the last few years. What's happening is this book says God's shaking this earth, trying to get people's attention. Hell hath enlarged itself. Why? There's more people going to hell every day. And I see there's volcanoes erupting all over this world. More so in the last 3 years than has been in the previous 30. You don't listen. If I come up here tonight and said, let's look at the times and seasons, you'd say, we already know them. We just watched the news. We saw all them things. And he says in verse 2, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Even though all this is laid out before us in a panorama of view of seeing all these things that I just mentioned, yet he's still going to take people by surprise. There are going to be Christians that are going to say stuff like, well, we've heard the Lord's coming for years, and we've been waiting on that. It ain't happened yet. It's going to catch you off guard in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. He's going to come like a thief in the night. Be watchful, my friend. Be watchful. If you look down at verse number 3, we see the reaction of people about this thing. There's going to be a twofold response to this, and here's the first part. Here's the response by the children of darkness. He says in verse 3, for when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. And he goes down to verse 7 and says, for they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. What's the children of darkness do? The only thing they know to do, and that's be wicked. Do you notice how he points that thing out, says, when they shall say, peace, peace, and there's sudden destruction? Here's a funny thing. Do you know that while they were talking about peace, peace, and all this just 2 weeks ago in the United Nations, there was a terrorist attack happening right then that wiped out people over in London? Did they not get the memo that we're all supposed to be at peace now? That they're peace-loving Muslims? Have they forgot the memo we sent out? Have they forgot what Hillary said about them? Did they forget that easily? Here's the problem. When they're crying out, peace, peace, there'll be no peace. Yeah. I read in the Bible how Ishmael, his hand is going to be against every man.
Right.
And you know what? 6,000, or actually be 4,000 years of human history since then has proven that statement to be a fact. So when in the last 16 years did they change that? Because while they're telling us how peaceful these people are, they're blowing up buildings, blowing up children, blowing up women and everything else. Anything they can put a bomb on, they kill it. They hate Jews. Listen to this. They hate Jews. They hate Americans. They hate Russians. They hate the English. They hate the French. And this just then, they hate other Muslims that ain't in the same outfit they in.
Yeah.
I thought Independent Baptists and Southern Baptists was a war till I found out them Sunnis and Shiites would kill each other over anything over there.
Well,
when I was growing up, there was a newscast on every night where Dan Rather talked about Iraq and Iran fighting all the time. You know what got them at peace? We went over there. Now all of a sudden they're the Muslim Brotherhood. We're united against that white devil from across the seas. Listen, if we backed out right now, they'd kill each other on the spot. They're wild. They're hands against every man. But yet this world's saying, we got peace. United Nations said, oh, this is just we've gotten peace. This is a peaceless time. There's no wars going on. Hello, where have you been? Even CNN talks about all these wars. I mean, you can't be, you've missed it. And besides all that, if you really want to catch up on the news, just go to Facebook. They'll tell you about all the local wars going on. He made me mad. I won't fix him supper tonight because of that. 10 minutes later, here's what I fixed him for supper. What a day we live in. They that be drunken are drunken in the night. What are they going to do? They're going to keep on drinking. You notice how he equates the word drunkenness with lost people? Would to God we could get a hold of that thing right there.
Yeah.
Would to God we'd get a hold of the Bible where it says, woe unto him, put the Bible to his neighbor's lips. Oh, that we'd get a hold of the Bible where it says, I'll have these wounds without cause, and then I'll wake up and seek that wine yet again. Oh, that we'd get a hold of that.
Yeah.
See, a lot of folks have never figured this thing out. I don't know who told them it was good, but it was the devil that told them to tell them. And if you think you're above that thing and it won't catch you, they call that thing spirits for a reason.
Yeah.
It will get you.
Yeah.
When you brag, say, oh, I got this. I got this. I drink with no consequences. I don't believe you.
Amen.
Because you, listen to this, you think way too highly of yourself, and pride goeth before destruction.
Yeah.
You won't beat that enemy. He'll beat you. It's kind of like all them poker machines. You know why they built all them places, put a bunch of them in there? Because they knew you wouldn't beat them. But here you go. I'm going to win. How'd that work out for you? No millionaires tonight? Hey, listen. What are the children of night going to do till Jesus gets here? They're going to get deeper and deeper and deeper into sin. You think it's bad now? Think about when Jesus said these words, as it was in the days of Noah.
Yeah.
How bad was it then? Well, we'd think it's worse now than it was then, but it ain't got that bad yet. As it was in the days of Lot. Lot was in the middle of Sodom. He is a politician. The Bible said he sat in the gate. Get this, born again man sitting in the gate in politics.
Yeah.
And how was the local thing going? Oh, they've given everything to the Sodomites.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, you think it's going to get any... Oh, we got peace going on. Really? Why's all them football fans quit watching that ball game?
Yeah.
There ain't no peace there. They're trying to start a war there.
Yep. Right.
Listen here. I see the response by the children of darkness, but I also see the response by the children of light. Look at that at verse 4. Here's how we're supposed to respond when we're saying, be watchful. He says, but ye, brethren, are not in darkness that day should overtake you as a thief. We're not in darkness, see? We're in the light, right? He said, you are all children of the light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others. Let us watch and be sober. You've been looking for a sign to put down that alcohol? There it is. You've been looking for a sign to put down that marijuana? There it is. You've been looking for a sign to put down all that stuff that takes you and intoxicates you, be it pills or a powder or whatever, or something that comes out of a needle or out of a crack pipe. There's your sign. Be sober. Don't tell me how you saved you are. Tell me how sober you are. Then tell me how saved you are. I see a lot of people, they want to have both, walk with the devil and with God and hold hands with both. You can't do that. Because, see, listen, you can't watch if you're not sober.
Right.
You ever wondered why our beloved Marines, they'll stand the man out there and watch over stuff and he'll stand at attention and watch? You know what one thing's required of him while he's standing there? He has to be sober. When them Navy guys are marching their guys out on that ship, and if you were to fly by one of them things in the middle of the night, you'd notice they got watchmen walking around that ship, and everyone's got one thing in common. Outside, they wear the same uniform. You know what that thing is? They're all sober. They want those guys to be as sober as a judge because they are watchers. You and I are no different than them. We're enlisted in the Lord's army. He tells us to be watchful and be sober about that thing. Like I said, you've been waiting for somebody to show it to you in the Bible. There it is. He looked down at verse 8. You see it again. He said, but let us who are of the day be sober. Look at this. Putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. What God say do? Well, why are you doing all that sober? Just put on your uniform. Put on the whole armor of God that Paul brings up again in Ephesians chapter 6. And be ready to go to war at any time. But here's what we're waiting on. We're there to guard and protect the things of God until Jesus shows up. You say, well, I'll just throw that book out there to take care of itself. No, the Bible says be a contender, not a pretender.
Right.
The Bible says earnestly contend for the faith.
Right.
Not to earnestly pretend for the faith. Contend, not pretend.
Yeah.
And I see he said that same thing there, be sober again. And why is that? Because we're going to put on a uniform and we're going to be on watch. But we're not watching for the enemy, we're watching for the Lord. How about that? He says in verse number 9, here's the good part about it. When we're watchful, we got a promise here in verse 9. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. So God didn't appoint you to go through this wrath of the tribulation. He appointed you unto salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. When we pledge allegiance to that flag, we talk about the book, the blood, and the blessed hope of our Lord's soon return. Those are not just words we come up with. That's Titus chapter 2 about the blessed hope and sudden appearing of our Lord. And we know that He's coming soon. We don't even need to report on the times and seasons because we know He's coming soon. He said that He died for our sins in verse 10, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Boy, I'm ready for some bees. How about you? I'm ready for some honey. You got some honey going? Listen here. Be watchful. Be sober. Here's another one. Be helpful. Look down at verse 11. Here's how you can be helpful. He says, wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. How are we going to be helpful? Try building one another up. A lot of times in churches, we got so many people playing the Holy Ghost, we don't see the comforter. Listen, here's what we do. Try to build each other up. Try to find somebody that's down and pick them up. Can I get a witness up in here? Hey, listen, we ought to find somebody that's down and say, you know what? I'm on the ups right now. I'm going to help them while they're down. I might be down later. Who knows? I might need a little help up.
Yeah.
He said, what? Comfort yourselves together and edify one another. Edify means to build up in love. How am I going to do that? Well, I got to help them somewhere. I guess I need to love on them. So how can you do that? I don't know. Maybe $50. I don't know. Stick something in their hand, in their pocket, something like that. That might be a blessing to somebody.
Well,
yeah. So, oh, no, wait a minute. I was okay with you said money. Let me teach you a principle. You give, He gives. You hold, He holds. Now, don't give away your paycheck, but if you want to encourage somebody, try to help them out a little bit somewhere. You say, I don't trust people money. Neither do I. Go and let the board pull up works and pay their power bill. How about that one? That be okay with you? That way they don't even know who done it. You can let your right hand and left hand be separate from each other, not know who done what. But be helpful to people. I like when people get up and say, I don't know who done this, but somebody paid my power bill. Praise God. Well, thank God for that. You can just sit back and go, amen, Lord, I'm glad I can do that.
Right.
Wouldn't that be cool? Wouldn't that be cool to show up at Broad River Electric and you got all excuses why you can't pay your power bill and you show up as paid? So who would do that? Some of your brethren should do that. I see down there, he said, edify one another, even as also ye do. You want people to do you like that? Do people like that. It'll work out in a way. Because whatever you sow to, that's what you're going to reap of. Be helpful. Verse 14. He said, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. Number one. This is brethren that are unruly. See, we want to be helpful. Sometimes you got to go people that's just being unruly and tell them, please quit doing that. The late Dr. John Waters said it this way. If I'm taking my cement, my trowel, and I got my line up, and I'm putting up bricks on the wall, and I'm going up through there, and you know, laying bricks ain't easy. And he said, if I look back and see a man taking bricks down as I'm putting them up, I'm going to turn around and ask him to stop. Please stop what you're doing. You're affecting my work. Mm-hmm. All right? He said, warn them that are unruly. Hey, what do we need to do? When people start taking bricks off the side of this building, turn around and say, please, you're hurting our church. Don't do that. Listen, we need to make sure we keep them things laid up there and quit taking them down because we put them up there for a reason.
Right.
Only children will walk by a brick wall where a man's working and say, what's this, blunk? What's this, blunk? That's unruly.
Yeah. Yep.
So that's children. Then why people act like that?
Come on,
like they say in the South, you're supposed to be an adult.
Yeah.
Look here. He said, warn them that are unruly. Here's another one. Comfort the feeble-minded. You find somebody that's weak in the head, hey, you that are strong in the cabeza, you help them out. So that's the cabeza. I was talking in tongues. It was Spanish, I think. It was? Good. I was right on the money. Some of you just loco in the cabeza, amen. That's why you don't get this stuff. That's why we try to be a blessing to you. See that thing? You can go home and tell them, look, we had talking in tongues and the preacher raised his hand, everything last night in our church. Look here, and it's a known tongue too, Spanish, amen. How about that one? Look here, he said, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak. Support the weak. Does anybody need a handicap ramp built? Well, I'd help them out. They're weak. They can't do it. So is that in the Bible? Yeah, I just read it to you. Support the weak. How about that last one? Be patient toward all men. If I'm being patient toward all men, I got to think back about what God had to put up with before I got saved and what he's had to put up since then, put up with. And I say, you know what? If God can put up with all that, I'd put up with anybody.
Right.
Be patient toward all men. Now, I notice there that tells us to be helpful to each other. Then we get down to verse 12 and 13. He says, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Not only going to be helpful, let's be respectful. Be respectful. Honor and love your spiritual leaders.
Yeah.
Now, I want to do a favor tonight for somebody. And listen, at the 21-22 minute mark of this message, look in the camera at me. If you know somebody at their church is treating them bad, don't you send us to all their members. You need to have a pastor appreciation day and show the man of God some love.
Yeah.
Our church does that faithfully. We've got a church here that for the last 22, 23 years, however long it's been, and don't holler it out because I done forgot, but however long it's been, y'all been good to me, and listen, that there's times I've had to say, don't do nothing else. Every church and every Christian watching this ought to say the same thing.
Amen.
Fine, listen, even these worldly bookstores say October's Pastor Appreciation Month. Do something for the man of God. Listen, I encourage places where I go to take care of the man of God. You know what the first thing I hear is? We just can't afford to. Thou that pullest the bass boat into the parking lot.
Yeah.
Thou that drivest the RV down the road to vacation every 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Can I get a witness? Hmm. Listen, I see all these people saying this stuff, but their life says something else.
Yeah.
I'm not saying sell everything you have, be good man of God. I'm just trying to tell you something. You be good to God's man, God will be good to you. He'll be good to your church. Oh, listen, before I'd go home and have preacher stew, I'd go home and have devil stew and give the devil a fit and rather than my preacher.
Because
then little children are sitting at the table, they'll hear all that. And you know what they'll do? They won't have stew one day too.
Amen.
And what you eat, they going to eat. Mmm. I'm going to do some preaching up in here now. I want to tell you something. We need to be respectful of folks like that. And while I'm at it, just a little sidebar. We're going to step right out here. This is my personal opinion. And if you don't like it, you can be wrong. But when we're respectful to people, you need to be respectful of them police out there.
Right.
If I was a cop and you was an NFL player and you was taking a knee because you don't like me, I'd quit directing traffic your games. I'd quit guarding them stadiums up there and let them people run down on the field on you, and I'd let them go do all that. Then we'd find out who was really over what.
Yeah.
How dare a man make $33 million a year going to throw off on some guy making $40,000 a year? Have you lost your mind? Ain't it funny how the $33 million guy ain't got no guns and the $40,000 a year guy's got a gun and can shoot that guy and he don't?
Yeah.
Be respectful. Be respectful. Next time you're in a place and you see a couple of police, buy their dinner before they get it paid for.
Amen.
I ain't dealing with preachers now. I'm dealing with the other thing. Police now. Listen, be respectful of these people. If you go to a classroom and listen, and if your teacher's your mom or your daddy or some person's went to college to be a teacher, whatever you kind of school you got, be respectful of people like that.
Yeah.
Hey, you. What if you said that to your drill sergeant? What he'd say? Hey, you.
Yeah.
He'd say, boy, let me talk to you. After you give me 25. And there you are huffing and puffing. And you get up and he says, my name ain't you, boy.
And your pride says, don't call me boy, man.
Yeah, okay, good for you. Here's the funny thing. This is the military, right? They said, well, they're not allowed to do that anymore. Yeah. Okay. Why do they keep dropping out at Paris Island? They ain't allowed to do that anymore. I think we need to start learning how to be respectful to people. Hey, you Christians. I don't care if you eat out on Sunday or not. I really don't. I have no preference one way or another. You do what you're going to do. But wherever you go, be respectful. And God bless you. The next time I preach, if I hear you at a restaurant talking about, well, I wish they'd come hurry up and seat some of us. Because if they tell me, you'll hear it again. And you'll be sitting there thinking, he's preaching to everybody. No, I'll be talking to you.
Right. Yeah.
Why is that? Because you need to be respectful.
Right.
And then don't talk about, they just need Jesus in here. Don't put down my tracks when you do that. Don't put something down my picture on it when you do that, please. Listen, I have enough people lying on me without you acting out like that, me thinking and them thinking I made you that way.
Come on.
I'd like to see folks be respectful to people. So what I'd like to make, honey, baby. Honey. Listen, honey. We're trying to make some stuff over here be good for us, be sweet to the Savior there. We deal with spiritual leaders. I believe this personally. And listen to this. If somebody learns to treat their spiritual leaders right, they'll treat everybody else right.
Yeah.
I don't go up to Sheriff Mueller and tell him Jackie Gleason jokes from Smokey and the Bandit.
Right.
He's the sheriff. You got to respect that position.
Right.
Are you with me?
Amen.
I don't give the police chief a hard time. I respect the man. And you said, well, I got stories about him. Keep them to yourself.
Right.
I've already read the Chronicle from the Ledger. I've already read all that stuff. Don't want to hear it again.
Amen.
Say, what about them other sheriffs? Don't want to hear about them either. You'll be fine. Just keep going on with your life, not worried about them.
Yeah.
Do what? Be respectful. Here's another one for you. We're doing so good. Let's get another one. Look at verse 15. He says, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. If we can't render evil for evil, we're trying to make honey here, I guess we need to be merciful to people. You know what God said He'd do? Over in the book of Proverbs, He said if He went to take vengeance on somebody that had done you wrong and saw that you liked it, He'd stop His hand and wouldn't touch him no more. He says, somebody crosses you, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. However, if you get to liking their payment, God will take it away.
Right.
And won't do another thing.
Right.
And you'll be sitting back, listen, you'll be like Jonah under the gourd.
Yeah.
You'll be so mad you can't stand it. You'll be sitting there saying, well, God was really giving it to him and then he quit because you got to liking it too much.
Yeah.
Be merciful to people because you know what? I'm just glad that, that some of y'all haven't been smitten hip and thigh every time I've gotten mad.
Right.
Sal, if you get mad at us, preacher, probably a lot. But you know what? I got to understand something. If you do wrong, I can't turn around and do wrong back at you.
Right.
Okay? And if I'm going to be that way by you and you say, well, you're supposed to be that way. You're a preacher.
Come on.
You're a Christian too. You're supposed to be that way to everybody else.
Amen.
Don't render evil for evil.
Amen.
Listen to this. I got some of the best neighbors you could have in the worst neighborhood in the world. But I'm going to tell you what. If they accidentally knock over their trash can tonight, I ain't going to throw it back in the yard. I'm going to help them pick it up. Because that's what you do. You don't render evil for evil. So that's never happened to you. You want to bet? Why, my in-laws right next door, somebody hit our trash can in a car, broke the telephone pole, put trash all the way down to the dog fence. I'm glad they didn't say, well, that's your trash on my yard. I'll just sling it back up. Now, they come out there and help me pick it up. Are you listening to me? So I wish I had good neighbors like that. You pray them clean, bless God. You'd have good neighbors, too. Listen. You can make honey for your honeycomb, too. Be merciful to people. Hey, it might come up on you one day. You might need some mercy. Because there's nothing stopping you from rendering somebody evil first time and then you saying, oh, please don't do that back. No, listen, let's not do it at all.
Yeah.
And he points out in that verse, but ever follow that which is good. He said, both among yourselves and to how many men?
All
men. Why? Because that's how God had you to be merciful to people.
Amen.
There was a fellow done a study in the Bible a while back over there in them talents over there where that man said that he's, I'm going to forgive you these talents. He went around and turned around and told that other guy, I'm not going to forgive you. We're talking about a guy that's forgiven $250,000 worth and told the guy that owed him $100. I'm going to put you in jail over it. Strange, ain't it? If I was going to lock up one of them, I'd lock up the guy that lent the guy $250,000, because that's crazy. Especially when you forgive him that debt and he's going to turn and tell the old $100 guy, you owe me big, buddy. Hey, we need to learn how to be merciful to people. Do you realize not everybody has the same likes and wants and desires that you have? We are fearfully and wonderfully made in the hands of God. Now, I'm not justifying any sinful actions here, but I'm going to say this. Some people just don't cut their corn the way you do.
Right.
Some people have a tendency to like certain ways to worship. And I don't think it's good nor bad. Until I have to walk up next to the building, it sounds like war going on instead of a church. He says that in the Bible? Sure is. When they come off that Mount Sinai, listen, the youth director made a golden calf and put it out there. The man of God was walking down through there, and Joshua said, it sounds like they're making war down there. And Moses said, wait a minute, that's music. But it wasn't the right kind of music.
Right.
So what about it that wasn't the right kind of music? It didn't glorify God. It didn't lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. It wasn't soul-stirring music. So what was it? It was a song for the golden calf. But when I run into somebody who's in a church like that, I try to be merciful to him. Because if I'd have got saved 10 years after I did, I'd have probably been in the same outfit and somebody had to be merciful to me to get me out of it.
Right.
I'll tell you what somebody told me one time, and I do believe it was Dr. Seiler said this. If you see a baby in the freezer, get it out.
Right.
Get the thing out of there. When you see somebody in a mess, be merciful to them. They may not know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, when I first got saved, they told me, they said, listen, we realize that you're an ex-drug addict. And we realize your brain's probably rattled full of holes like Swiss cheese. And that you'd probably understand the NIV Bible better than you would that old, hard King James Bible. Only problem is, I read that new version. My brain was like Swiss cheese. However, I do have a 12th grade education at Gaffney High School, and you make fun of that all you want to, we'll still beat y'all in football. But wait a minute, there's more. They taught us to count to past 100, and when I started going through that NIV and its missing verses, I began to mark them down and asking, why are they not there? Why is 17 verses not in the text? Oh, we just took out the ye's and these. If you'd have done that, you'd took out over 200,000 verses, wouldn't you? Or 200,000 words, I'm sorry. But I go back and find out, happy at this time cometh not out by prayer and fasting is one of the verses they took out. What's that having to do with getting the devil out of somebody? I said, there might be something to this. And I began to read and find out what was going on. And I went to the final authority and found out something. We're not the monkey with this book. It's fine like it is.
Right.
And we got the Holy Spirit of God, the all of the wisdom of God inside us to teach us this book as we need it.
Yeah.
We can grow on the milk of the Word. Later on we get on the meat of the Word. And when I get over here on the meat, I got to look back and remember this. If I see somebody in that shape, I need to be merciful to them. They may not know. Tell you what we was told when me and my wife was coming along. Well, bless God, you get your King James Bible, get to reading the Bible. We didn't know what a King James Bible was. But what the devil intended for good, God intended for good, and guess what? We finally found out what one was. Not with their help, of course. See, when you attack like that, you know not what manner of spirit you're of. Can I get a witness there? Be merciful. Be watchful. Be helpful. Be sober. Be all these things. Why? Let me ask you something tonight. Knowing where you come from, And all of us came from the same place. We came from despair and hopelessness. God saved us and showed us all this. How much more should we show it to somebody else so we could see the grace of God meet with faith somewhere and birth somebody into the family of God? How much more could that be? Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed.